Drive with Jack, ABC Radio Perth.
That repression of the 50s was really kind of exploding. I felt like I got hit with a sledgehammer.
It was not a top-down thing. It was a bushfire. It was a grass fire.
Battling for abortion rights, childcare, simple things of women not being allowed in the public bar.
Fighting each other over reform versus revolution.
Lesbians in the women's movement were seen as a hindrance.
I found a lot of women's groups really racist. I mean, and unconscious racism.
The most oppressed people in this country is the black women.
They were singling out behaviours within the movement. We all ask ourselves, is that me?
People who make revolutions get burnt, but it's also completely exhilarating.
A Little Taste of Brazen Hussies, a documentary charting the rise of the women's liberation movement in Australia from 1965 to 1975, and it features archival footage, interviews with 25 movers and shakers, including barrister Eva Cox, author Anne Summers, Elizabeth Reid, Gough Whitlam's advisor on women's affairs. And I'm going to be really interested to hear your memories and stories of life in Perth during this period. And I'm thinking mid-60s to the mid-70s. Were you one of those women refused entry to the pub? Did you require your husband's permission to get a checkbook? Maybe you were asked to give up your job before you were ready. A little later, you'll meet Michelle. She was part of a group who established WA's first woman's shelter in the 70s, and she's going to share her memories of that time. But first with me is Catherine Dwyer, Perth girl, the director and writer of Brazen Hussies, which opens in cinemas tomorrow. Catherine, hello to you.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
My great pleasure. This project has been 5 years in the making. What did you discover about the movement that surprised you, Catherine?
Well, there were some surprises. Oh, I think one of the best surprises I discovered was some ASIO footage with Sigrid Thornton in it, a 12-year-old Sigrid Thornton waving a women's liberation flag with her mum, Merle, who is the character that kicks off the story of women's liberation in Brisbane in 1965 when she chained herself to the Regatta pub. But I wasn't so surprised by a lot of it because I had actually worked on a American film about the women's liberation movement, and that's where I got the idea to come home and find out what happened here.
Describe for me the circumstances that led to so many women declaring that enough was enough. What did their world look like in the 1960s?
Well, for starters, women could not drink in the public bar with men. So if you can imagine, the word public did not apply to women back then. That's pretty shocking. And it was standard around the country, but it was actually even written into the law in Queensland, and that's what Mel Thornton was protesting.
The Ladies' Lounge, I think, was what it was called, wasn't it? Didn't pubs have the Ladies' Lounge where they could perhaps go for a shandy, you know, a beer and lemonade?
They could, but they had to pay more in the Ladies' Lounge for their drinks, even though they got 75% of a man's wages.
Who did you make the film for, Catherine? Because generationally I am sensing there will be young women who will look at this for the first time with mouths agape.
Yeah, well, I mean, I became so interested in it because I was raised by a feminist, and I consider myself lucky in that regard, but I found that people my own age, and I'm 38, didn't sort of understand or realise, you know, why it's important to call yourself a feminist or why feminism is relevant today, as I think it is. So I became really curious to know, you know, what was the story? Because I knew that there was such a thing as second wave women's movement, but I didn't know the details. And I hadn't heard of any of the women that I interviewed in the film until I started researching it.
And was there a familiarity of theme in their motivations for being involved, Catherine?
A similarity?
Yeah, a similarity. Were they motivated by the same things, by a sense of the unfairness of it all, the inequality of a situation?
Yes, definitely. I think a lot of women came to the movement via the anti-war movement, which you know, liberation politics were very big in the 60s with the anti-Vietnam War movement, the anti-apartheid movement. There was protests against the Springbok tour of the South African rugby team. So women are fighting for liberation of people around the world, but then finding that their brothers beside them don't treat them equally and expect them to make the tea and, you know, make the flyers and the posters, but not to speak.
Not to do the important things. Catherine Dwyer is my guest. She's the director and writer of Brazen Hussies, and I'm going to be interested to know if this rings true of your own experiences in Australia in the 1960s and 70s. And some of the archival footage you've collected, Catherine, you know, tackles issues that resonate still today, of course. Have a listen.
Do Australian women really need liberating?
Perhaps not all Australian women feel they do, but I think most of them would. There are some women who feel, I'm all right now, I'm fairly liberated, I've got a job, I'm not the conventional housewife, I'm not tied down. But in fact, they're probably having trouble getting childcare facilities. In fact, they're doing two jobs at once.
And the conversation continues generations on, Catherine, doesn't it? The provision of childcare, the doing of two jobs at once. Do you have a sense of considerable progress being made in some areas but not enough in others?
Yes, definitely. And the problem of childcare is definitely one of them. We've come a long way, but we've still got a long way to go. But I think one thing that's telling about how far we've come is the way that women think about themselves and the confidence that young women have today.
Yes.
I spoke to a 22-year-old the other day, and I asked her if she was familiar with the term brazen hussy, and she said she hadn't heard of it before the film. And it was a term that was used to silence women if you spoke out, if you were loud, if you drew attention to yourself.
Yes.
And the women's movement reclaimed the term and you know, wore it proudly as a badge of honour. And so that's probably why you don't hear that term anymore, because it's lost its power. And I think that's quite incredible.
Are you hoping that people will see this film and grow to understand that wherever they are now, or wherever feminism is now, wherever the rights of women are now, they were built by other people at other times who did take considerable risks to do it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we have to know our history in order to know that we can make it again today. If you know, I mean, so often women are told that they didn't do anything significant in history, and that's so not the case. It's just that we don't get told the stories of our own history. So it's very empowering to know how much women achieved in the past so that we can continue the fight today.
Catherine, thank you. Catherine Dwyer, the director and writer of Brazen Hussies, which is opening in cinemas here tomorrow, asking for your memories of the women's liberation movement as you knew it in the 60s and 70s. Michelle Koski helped to found the first women's shelter in Western Australia in the 1970s. G'day, Michelle.
Hi, Jeff. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. Michelle, will you take me back to those days and what you were seeking to do under pretty difficult circumstances?
Well, first of all, there was the Salvation Army had a refuge and the Catholic Church had a refuge. So I wouldn't like you to think that Nardine was the first, but it was the first feminist refuge where women could come and be safe and secure with their children. And it was a very important step, I suppose, for allowing women, encouraging women to not stay in relationships based on domestic violence. And much of that hasn't changed 50 years later.
And Michelle, did you require your husband's signature on the lease?
Well, as a matter of fact, we did. There were five of us who met together on a Sunday in 1974 in March, and two of the husbands of those women present said that they would both guarantee the lease and the bond. So we were very grateful for their assistance.
Michelle, when you think back to those times, do you think a lot of people have forgotten that there was a considerable struggle for women who did not want things to stay as they were, who wanted to be able to express their opinions and their voices and be heard in a fairly overwhelmingly male-dominated world?
Well, I think it's difficult to imagine now, but 50 years ago that was a huge struggle, and one has to give credit to the 1972 Labor government, the appointment of the first women's advisor to the Prime Minister, and really many of those single mother benefits came into play, childcare became a reasonable option. So in a way, we could have marched up and down with our Sisterhood is Powerful banners and established refuges, but unless we had a big policy impact across government, which is what the Labor government did, then I think we wouldn't be where we are now, I suppose. I want to express in some way some gratitude for politicians who saw that it was important to give Elizabeth Reid, as the women's advisor, got 3,000 letters a week from women. That's unimaginable.
Isn't it?
Wanting their voices to be heard.
Where are we at now, Michelle? Is there the same appetite for expressing a view and demanding change than there was 50 years ago?
Well, I think it's all very different as a result of, social media, advances in technology. I think that Rosie Batty demonstrated beyond anything that domestic violence and family violence is still a big issue, and she's done a marvellous job in getting that matter on the national agenda. And I think, good on her.
And good on you, Michelle Koski. I'm sure there are plenty of people listening who know of others who have been the beneficiaries of what you helped start and making women safe. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Cheerio.
Michelle Koski, cheerio to you. The film is Brazen Hussies. Have a look at it. I've only seen the promo when I went to the cinema last week, but it does look really good.